And relationships. I am your hostess with the mostest, Jasmine George. I've got a master's degree in counseling and a PhD in the love of sports, baby. Cheekbones and charm, Jazzy Fizzle on the ones and twos.
You're listening to Female Field Guide with Jasmine George. Broadcasting live from the Mahogany Lounge.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's 8 o'clock Sunday night. Welcome back. I have missed you guys so much, Jasmine George, your host of the Female Field Guide, a woman's cheat sheet to sports and relationships. I am your go-to girl. Ladies, I want to get you right. Fellas, I love you too. Thank you so much for joining me for another fantastic episode of FFG. Ladies and gentlemen, my, do we have much to talk about, but for all these first-time listeners, first of all, hey there, boy, hey there, girl. Thank you for tuning in. And let me tell you a little bit about me. I am a former basketball player. I want to get you right. My jump shot's still nice, but I need to stretch for about 45 minutes or so. I'm a former coach. They still call me coach. And most importantly, I am a woman who knows the game. I want to get to my ladies talking about that fantastic sport, whether it's baseball, football, basketball, hockey, badminton, you name it. I am a sports writer. I'm a sports editor for Prominence Magazine. It's more than a word, a definition. It's a lifestyle. Thank you for Glennie's, my entire team, for giving me the opportunity to write for such an esteemed magazine. I am also a feature writer for the Patch newspaper, Diamond Bar Patch. Pretty cool featured articles I've been able to write. Thank you so much for Catherine and the whole entire crew of the Patch newspaper to allow me to write there. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I am also on the tube. Shout out to Game Time, Inland Empire Media Group. I am one of the sports anchors for the show, and Inland Empire Media Group out there in San Bernardino. Shout out to Navarre and Jimmy. You can catch me on TV. You can go to my YouTube page to catch episodes as well. But if you visit iemediagroup.tv, you can catch all the episodes of Game Time. And, of course, the founder, CEO, head honcho of FFG. Ladies and gents, you know you can contact me in a plethora of ways. Blog Talk Radio, of course, Sunday nights, 8 p.m., blogtalkradio.com/female-field-guide. My Facebook fan page, facebook.com/femalefieldguide, of course. And, of course, Twitter. You can follow me at femalefieldguide. Leave the E off a guide. I don't know why. That's what Mr. Twitter man says. And a Tumblr that has been just going so well. Shout out to my intern who's just kicking butt. Femalefieldguide.tumblr, T-U-M-B-L-R-com. And, of course, you can visit the YouTube page. Shout out to everyone that visits the YouTube page, that comments, that likes, or sometimes even dislikes. Hello. It really gives me the support. We've hit 11,000 uploaded views of the Female Field Guide. Wow. YouTube page. That's youtube.com/Female Field Guide. Thank you guys so much for the love and the support. Did you know that I am the first Blog Talk Radio host to have their own app? Shout out to ZenForce Media. Please visit your Android market as well as the iTunes store to download the FFG Blog Talk Radio. You can catch my episodes, all 40, 50 some odd ones I've had since I've been on the air. Such a blessing for that. And you can also follow my tweets, man. My Facebook posts, man. And there's also a pretty fun photo album with all of my adventures since FFG has been birthed into my heart. You know, go ahead and stay in the iTunes store. Go ahead and stay there. Go ahead and visit the FFG BTR podcast. Listen, make yourself a mixtape or something, man. Mix CD. You're driving in your car. You miss the sound of my cheekbones. Jazzy Fizzle, Female Field Guide. We've got a wonderful show lined up. first show of 2012, we had our end of the year show that actually brought in the most listeners in a month. So thank you so much for that. We've got a two-minute drill. What a day for football, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, what I mean, each game went down to the wire. I mean, each game went down to the wire. We'll be talking about that. I also had the chance to visit and be a part of the NFL Players Association Ashford Collegiate Bowl. The media day was on Friday, and I spoke with the legendary coach, Mr. Dick Vermeil. So I have some pieces of our interview. Make sure you visit the YouTube page to get the interview in its entirety. We're going to be having a fantastic double play talking baseball. Cats are coming to the training camp. Right around the corner, I had a chance to interview and sit down with my newfound buddy, Josh Barr, the newly acquired catcher for the LA Dodgers. Hey there, Josh. Thanks so much, bro. An NBA crossover segment. Yeah, you know, it's all about football right now, baby. But guess what? The NBA is still in full effect. So we're going to have Mika, one of my senior producers, come on the show, and we'll talk a little bit. Something in our NBA crossover segment. I got a question for you. What the fuck? We're going to be talking hockey with my other senior producer, Tommy, who knows all things hockey, keeping us on top of things with regard to the National Hockey League. And, of course, a very fun sports and entertainment spin with my cray-cray brother, who knows all things entertainment, because guess what? He is in that field, and he is funny, Jaren George. And if we have time, I would love to drop some gems, my sportsman relationship segment called If You Can't Beat Him, well, then you might as well join him. Well, let's do that. Let's hop into football on our two-minute drill right now.
Two-minute drill.
Hello. You play to win the game.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Two-minute drill.
If you were under a rock or just didn't get a chance to watch the tube, today's championship football game, the winners go to the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 46. This just in, the AFC Championship game, the 49ers versus the Giants, and the Giants won in overtime, 20-7. Lawrence Hines kicks a game-winning field goal. Oh, my goodness. Eli, I love you, boo. And earlier today, the Ravens and the Pats in the NFC Championships, like I said, winner go home, and then the winner will go to the Super Bowl. The Patriots advance to their seventh Super Bowl. Tom Brady, you know he's dreamy. You can't hate the guy. He's amazing. He had a 16th playoff win. He ties Mr. Joe Montana. And that's not it with regards to records. He fifth start, most playoff start of any other quarterback. Tied Mr. John Elway. When I mean he's in good company, he is in good company. Pats went ahead to win earlier today, 20-23. Another. I mean, when I mean down to the wire, I mean down to the wire. Ravens kicker, Billy Cundiff, he missed a field goal 32 yards out, and it was supposed to tie the game, but it just didn't. Now, the Ravens, their faces, ladies, they were dumbfounded because the game literally, I mean, it was anybody's ball game. Tom Brady was extremely efficient, but you know what? Joe Flacco, the quarterback for the Ravens, you know, he held his own. But it just wasn't enough. Listen, I want you guys to try to watch some recap of the game. And right when Cundiff missed that field goal, there were cats, their faces were frozen. It's like, ask the kicker, what do? You sit in the back of the bus. Like, who's going to sit next to you? What do you do? If there's any kickers out there listening that have missed game-winning or game-tying field goals, call me. Share with me, baby. I got a master's in counseling. I'll help you. Come on the couch, FFG. Mr. Thomas Brady went 22 for 36. So, ladies, that means out of the 36 times he threw to his offensive players, 22 times they were caught, 239 yards, and two interceptions. And Mr. Joe Flacco, oddly enough, ladies and gentlemen, he also went 22 for 36, and he threw for 306 yards, two touchdowns and one interception. Whew. Let's move on to the second game really quickly. Like I said, it just ended about 10 minutes ago, 20-17, overtime. Wow. Mr. Eli Manning, 32 to 58, 58 times he threw the ball, 32 times one of his offensive players connected with the 316 yards. Ah, John 316, I'm just saying. Lawrence Hines kicked the game-winning field goal. This is the second time he hit a game-winning field goal in the championship game. Therefore, the Patriots and the Giants are going to the Super Bowl. So the question I have for you, the female field guide poll, who do you guys have winning in the Super Bowl? It's going to be in 2 weeks, ladies. Mark your calendar. Sunday, February 5th. Make sure you check the YouTube channel. I'll be getting you right, breaking it down, players to watch like I always do. Because I'm the FFG. Victor Cruz, ladies, I want you to watch him. He's fantastic. Every time he scores a touchdown, he does a nice little salsa dance because he's half Puerto Rican. So shout out to Victor Cruz. 10 receptions, 142 yards, and he had a heck of a game. But the 49ers quarterback, Alex Smith, you know, listen, I got lost in his eyes a couple times watching the game, but I snapped out of it, I promise. He went 12 for 26, 196 yards and two touchdowns. Vernon Davis, the tight end for the 49ers, got a heart and soul. He is so passionate, but it wasn't enough. Wasn't enough. Three receptions, caught the ball three times for 112 yards and two touchdowns. Just wasn't enough. Speaking of sports and entertainment, ladies and gents, before we move on to college football, American Idol and Aerosmith's frontman, Steven Tyler, sang the national anthem for the first game. And according to the Associated Press, there were a few articles out that they hated on. They called him, quote, pretty decent. How is he going to be judging people when his voice sounds like that? He's a rocker, man. Put a ribbon on the microphone. Put a scarf on the microphone. He can get down. Steven Tyler. And for the second game, Kristen Chenoweth. She is a gleek, and I love her. Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. She sang, and she did an absolutely wonderful job. So shout out to that. Like I said, next week, the Pro Bowl. All-star game, essentially. It's going to be in Hawaii. We'll talk a little bit about that. But the Super Bowl is in 2 weeks, Sunday, February 5th. Ladies, mark your calendars. Don't you dare say it's my cousin's wedding. You know when the date was. Ladies, be a part of this. Super Bowl is fantastic. Let's go ahead and move on to college football. How about that? How about that? This is who I have going to the Super Bowl, by the way, just in case you were wondering. Not going to Super Bowl, but winning. I see Eli and the Giants going to his big brother's house and winning the Super Bowl. What are you talking about, Jazz? Well, the Super Bowl will be in Indianapolis, the home of the Indianapolis Colts. That's pretty awkward and ironic because they played horrible this season. But the Colts will be hosting the Super Bowl, and I see Eli going into his brother's house. And just like the 2007 matchup, Patriots and the Giants, I just feel it. I'm a believer, Eli. I'm a believer. Anyway, enough of that. It's been a really great weekend for football and, you know, on the pro level as well as collegiate level. Of course, there's been bowl games. They ended. The national championship game was January 9th. But there's one more, a pre-draft game. The AstroTurf National Football League Players Association Collegiate Bowl was on Saturday. But I was invited to Media Day. Thank you so much for the people that took care of me and gave me a press pass. Because who am I? But, you know. I got this crazy show called FFG, and I really appreciate the opportunity. I had a chance to speak with some fantastic coaches, and they're there, you know, 100 of the country's top draft picks. These were young men that, for one reason or another, were invited to the combine. Ladies, I'll get into more details about what that is. Pretty much the biggest job interview that these young men will ever have thus far. And so, really, this is a second chance for these young men to play. AstroTurf, you know, they're one of the most iconic brands in American sports. They're as legendary as the athletes who battle on it. The coaches for the American and national team were Tom Flores and Dick Vermeil. They faced off in the Super Bowl. Make sure you check the YouTube channel. I have both of the interviews to its entirety. YouTube.com/FemaleFieldGuide. Tom Flores, who coached the Raiders, and he won two Super Bowls. And Dick Vermeil, I mean, guys. Wow, I had a chance to be there while he's sharing with the media and speak with him. He coached the Eagles, Rams, Chiefs. He won a Super Bowl with the Rams. And ladies, it's all about sports and entertainment. You know that sports and entertainment is beautifully blended. And another reason, an example that it is, you know the movie Invincible with Donnie Wahlberg, or Mark Wahlberg, hey there boy, playing Mr. Vince Papale, the head coach for the Jets. It's Dick Vermeil. Greg Kinnear played Dick Vermeil. I met and talked with Dick Vermeil. Get out of here. Give me a break. And so I want to share with you just a couple snippets of Media Day with Coach Vermeil. And just, you know, the first couple minutes is really him talking about the ball players and how this game is really great. It's the first game, the first bowl game, and they want to make it, you know, into an annual thing. And so this is the legendary coach, Mr. Dick Vermeil, speaking about the young men at the AstroTurf NFLPA Collegiate Bowl.
Legendary coach, Mr. Dick Vermeil. Such a pleasure to be able to speak with him, and he's here at the media conference.
gives you great confidence that our country is in great hands when you see all these young kids. You know, they're starry-eyed, excited. I just hope they don't get so excited that they lose their poise tomorrow game time. But they've been a very impressive group to be with, and very intelligent group. We have thrown them more offense than we can run in the game tomorrow, okay? Really, I think this game will earn some guys right to be re-examined in the future. And there's some kids here that ought to be going to the combine that aren't going.
Right.
Okay. And it might be an advantage. I don't know. But there's a number of kids here who can play in the league. There's a number of kids here who played on my football team in Kansas City when I left in 2006.
Yeah.
So you can see it. And the thing about this game will provide them one more opportunity.
Now, the thing that I really appreciate about Coach is that, well, you know, you're watching TV, even with ball players, because some amazing, assistant coaches that were on the teams helping out, Isaac Bruce, one of the best wide receivers, you know, that ever played the game. Hello, he picked up one of my business cards, and I looked at him, and I was like, oh, like in mid-sentence, that's Isaac Bruce. But you think they're gigantic. You think they stand a lean, mean 6'7" catching football machine, but he really wasn't. Coach Vermeil was the cutest thing. He was about my height. I'm 5'6". Such a pleasure, you know, and Priest Holmes, I recognize the neck. He had a neck like an ox, even though he is not in the game anymore. So it was very surreal and pretty cool just to be there. And, you know, those ball players giving back. They're not coaching, but they're giving back. And speaking of that, Coach Vermeil was asked about, you know, his passion. You could see his face was getting red with excitement. And someone asked, Coach, would you ever return back to coaching on the professional level? And this is what Coach Dick Vermeil had to say about that.
I'm 75 years old. I feel good, you know, but I don't have the stamina. And I know this, at 75 years old, when you're tired, your mind doesn't work as good. And sometimes it doesn't work as good anyway. And when you're coaching, you live in a state of being tired.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot more than I would have the ability to give.
And, you know, the great thing about it is that he was very candid. You know, when coaches, you know, they get asked that all the time, especially if they're still around the game. Coach, would you ever come back? And he said, look, you know, I'm 75 years old. And I love his honesty and his truth. And then, of course, with, you know, now the season is winding down, but are we going to get some football in Los Angeles? And because Coach Vermeil coached the LA Rams, you know, back in the day, he had a feel and he knows about the city and how we are so dehydrated, and we need some football. And so we asked Coach, what are your thoughts about football, NFL coming back to LA? And this is what he had to say.
Well, you know, I understand the problems, you know, but I think eventually someone is going to be here. But, you know, I don't think anyone's going to build a stadium until someone makes a commitment.
Sure.
And that's a huge investment. And I would love to see it. You know, I coached at the old Los Angeles Rams here starting in 1969.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a long time ago with George Allen, Tommy Protho, Chuck Knox here. And so I have wonderful memories of Los Angeles Rams. And I think some way we got to find a team to be here. That's all. I don't think they'll put a new franchise in here. I think it'll be somebody that'll move here.
And I absolutely agree with that. So I would definitely be keeping you all posted, really, with regards to what's going to go down with football back in Los Angeles. Now that the season's winding down, that's probably going to be up in the forefront of, you know, essentially the talks. And I really hope that there is a team or two that comes to L.A., because that's more jobs for me. So Saturday, the national team beat the Americans 20-14. I really hope that these young men do have another opportunity, maybe get invited to the combines, maybe come on, walk on. You never know. But they were nice young men, respectful, and I wish them all the best of luck. And what an opportunity to be able to speak with Mr. Tom Flores and Dick Vermeil. So God bless you guys. And, wow, that was the AstroTurf Collegiate Bowl. We're going to stay in the college football state of mind for just a few more seconds. Speaking of, like I said, college football, the legendary coach, Joe Paterno, died this morning from complications of lung cancer at 85 years old. The man known as Joe Pa won 409 games and took the Nittany Lions to 37 bowl games and two national championships. More than 250 of his players he coached went on to the NFL. And although the last few months of his life was surrounded with controversy with the sex scandal surrounding the university and one of his former assistant coaches, Sandusky, Joe Paul left the game as the most winningest coach in college football. Rest in peace, Joe Pop. Let's take a break, and we will be right back. This is Jasmine George, your female field guide.
You're listening to Jasmine George, your female field guide.
Let the ladies know why they should really look into fantasy football and Madden and how it can help them step their sports knowledge up.
Oh, my gosh. It will increase their knowledge exponentially.
Mm.
I mean, once you get into Madden and doing fantasy football, you're breaking down numbers.
Yes.
You're proposing trades.
Yes.
You're doing this and that to make your team better than your opponent's team, your
yes.
girlfriend's team,
yes.
or, you know, your girlfriend's team.
Yes.
And you got one back and forth. You're competing. You're in tournaments, and you're fighting this thing out. But it's all in fun.
Absolutely. And it's nothing but bragging. It's nothing but bragging rights. Bragging rights, and you're stepping your game up with football and not even realizing it. I love it.
Welcome back to Female Field Guide with Jasmine George.
Welcome back, ladies and gents. Sunday night, we are rolling on Female Field Guide. I hope you're having a good time because it's just getting started, baby. Speaking of just getting started, the Major League Baseball season, guess what? It's knocking, baby. It's knocking, and it's time for us to let it in. Before you know it, baseball season will be back in effect. April, I mean, it's the best month ever. Hello, my birthday. But the ball players will be reporting to spring training in a couple of weeks, depending on their position. And for those that know me personally, I attended the most outstanding life-changing conference a couple of weeks ago and had the opportunity to meet Mr. Josh Barr, the newly acquired catcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and such an awesome guy. And, I said, Josh, you got to come on the show, dude. You got to talk about your life, your path, and coming back to L.A. And he said yes. And I appreciate it because there's some cats that say yes, and you never hear from him again. And there's some cats that walk the walk and talk the talk, and he did that. So I had a chance to sit down with my new friend Josh Barr at the L.A. Dodgers, and we just talked about life and love and relationships and baseball. And so here is my convo with Mr. Josh Barr for the L.A. Dodgers.
I'm so excited to have one of my newfound buddies on the telephone, newly acquired catcher for the L.A. Dodgers, Mr. Josh Barr. Josh, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jasmine. It's a pleasure to get you before you're a superstar, so I'm excited to be here.
Well, you know what? Last week, geez Louise, we all felt like superstars. Such an amazing conference. That's where Josh and I met, and truly a life-changing event, and just such a condensed amount of time. And so just with both of us having athletic backgrounds, we were in a lot of discussion groups and really got to know each other. And I'm so excited that you're going to be back here in L.A., and so, you know, you're a catcher, and I remember when we spoke last week and we got to know each other, I asked you about, you know, some specific things with the catching position, and my question is, have you always played that position, throughout your baseball career?
I played shortstop for three plays when I was about 5 years old, and the kid that was behind the plate, you know, had the gear on, didn't fit him, and, you know, he got smoked by, like, four out of the five balls that was thrown at him, and he literally took his gear off, left it on home plate, and walked off the field, and I was sitting at shortstop thinking, man, I'm never going to get to punch the ball out here.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do, so I went back there, and I've been doing it ever since, so it's pretty much all I know.
I love it, and you're a taller guy. I was loving, standing and sitting with you and Grant, because I felt, like, 3 feet tall. And so that was always wonderful. I'd always walk with you guys. But, you know, it says doing my research and getting to know you, you were born in New York, but you were really raised and spent most of your time in Colorado. And then just what you share with me now, that's where you stay in the off season, right?
Yep. So that's where my family's at. And my wife and I, both of our families live here. And with the constant, changes and moves and all the different crazy stuff that goes along with, being a professional baseball player, it's definitely home base for us and, a place to come back and recoup, and we really enjoy being out here.
Absolutely. I had a girlfriend that she worked, and she actually went to grad school out in Colorado, so I had a chance to visit her. So it is so gorgeous out there. So definitely a great place to recharge your batteries. And really speaking of that, Josh, you know, you played with quite a few teams with, you know, the Indians, Red Sox, Padres, Nationals, Mariners. And now I'm so excited with the Dodgers. But, you know, you just shared with us, and then last week as we got to know each other, just the importance of family support. And also, Josh, you married your high school sweetheart. I mean, how cute is that?
Well, I was well over my skis, if you will, and I'm very grateful for my wife. Her name is Lindsay, and she is definitely the MVP of our career. And you know, I think that we've really tried to look at this as we have different roles in our marriage, and one role is not more important than the other.
Yeah.
I couldn't do this without her, obviously, with her support and, you know, helping raise our children and, you know, the long road trips. And, you know, we've been married 12 years now, and, you know, we've moved 53 times since we've, you know, been married and stuff.
Wow.
So it's a crazy life, and, you know, she is a wonderful, godly lady, and I'm grateful to have her.
Absolutely, 53 times. Please give her a hug and a kiss for me, even though I haven't met her yet.
I will, and I continue to do so. Yeah, it's the whole Baseball Live, you know, thing is a little bit misleading for, you know, the journeyman guy like myself. You know, it's definitely a road that is tough, and, you know, my children have been extremely gracious to me, and they really seem to love it. They're, you know, it comes to February, and they're kind of like, Daddy, where are we going this year? You know, so they get excited for, you know, the kind of adventure of new cities, and they're still young, so you know, we're trying to enjoy that time while we can.
Absolutely. Talk more about, of course, the reason why we were at the conference. It was a wonderful Christian entrepreneur conference. Not only were we fed spiritually, but also, you know, in our paths with regards to our career. And we talked about mentorship. And, you know, with you being on, you know, having the opportunity to play with so many different teams, not all on the West Coast or the East Coast, you know, really just spread out in the USA. Share with me your, I forgot his name, but your mentor, one of your coaches for your minor league, one of the minor
leagues. My mentor in the game is a guy named Chris Bando. And a lot of people will know his brother, Sal Bando, who, you know, in the next couple of years, you know, could end up being a Hall of Famer. He played with all the, you know, really great A's teams that, you know, won the World Series in the 70s and stuff. And Chris was, you know, his younger brother, and he, you know, ended up having a very nice big league career. He played about 12 years in the big leagues, and, you know, was a catcher, and, you know, just one of those overachiever kind of guys. I mean, he was, you know, he's blind in one eye.
Wow.
He switched, you know, switch hit, and part of the reason why he didn't have tremendously great hitting numbers in his career, but was just one of those rock solid, you know, great catchers that everybody loved to throw to, and everybody really respected. And, you know, he was just a guy that, you know, he was my double-A manager, and you know, a guy that's really impacted my life. And, you know, our families are extremely tight. You know, he has, you know, been married to the same woman for, I think they're going on about 30 years now, and they have 6 children.
Oh, I love it.
And, yeah, so they live now in San Diego, and he is he's a coach at a college out there coaching baseball, and, you know, he felt like, you know, he would have a better opportunity to mentor some guys in that realm, and so definitely a guy that, you know, I turn to for major life decisions, and, you know, he's never, you know, far away, and hopefully I can continue that circle with, you know, guys that have kind of come across my path while playing, and you know, so I really enjoy that part of it, and, you know, I feel like as a guy that's been around a little bit now, you know, there's definitely things that you see in a young player, whether it be on the field or off the field, that, you know, you hope that you can help them with, and I definitely would not, you know, act like I know it all by any means, but I think that you can share your experience with people, and I think that that's just good. You know, I think that those things come back in a good way, you know, over time.
Absolutely. On the phone with the 2-time All-American from Texas Tech and now L.A. Dodgers catcher, Mr. Josh Bart, Female Field Guide, Blog Talk Radio. You know, now that you're with the Dodgers, and one of the, just like you said, one of the younger players, when you see greatness being birthed and really flourished, Clayton Kershaw is going to be one of the guys that you're going to be interacting with, of course, on a daily. Really talk about now that you're with LA and really seeing kind of the turmoil that they might be going through with regards to front office things, but how important is it to Flores' relationships with the guys in the squad and really your expectations for the season, you know, as you're starting, you know, spring training in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, this is obviously my, you know, sixth or seventh organization. I lost count by this point. But, you know, I think that you take the stance of, you know, Clayton's obviously been, you know, extremely successful at a very young age. Mm-hmm. He obviously has a tremendous gift, you know, more getting to know him through other guys in the league that I've played with have, you know, spoke very highly about, you know, just his work ethic and the fact that, you know, when you put together, you know, just a one in a billion talent with a guy that's hungry to be better and, you know, really wants to beat you on the field, you know, obviously it's a scary combination. So, you know, my stance going into that is, you know, I'm going to sit back and listen. Mm-hmm. You know, I think sometimes you go in as a veteran guy and, you know, everybody's thinking that you know everything. And
yeah.
I'm wise enough to realize that I don't know everything, and, and I really am trying to take a stance of you can never stop learning in this game. And so I really try to do my homework on all of our pitching staff, and the video coordinator with the team has been tremendous for me and helped me with, you know, getting all the video stuff and coming in as prepared as I can. But, you know, there's no substitute for experience and getting on the field and actually getting to catch these guys. And, you know, I've faced Clayton and, you know, a lot of their pitchers as a hitter, you know, but obviously when, you know, you get a chance to be back there and, and find their strengths and their weaknesses and what the things that, you know, you can do. And obviously my job every day is to, you know, try to make those guys the best that they can be for that day. And that's a constantly kind of evolving situation. So it's something that I really enjoy. And you know, I'm excited about the opportunity to come to, you know, an organization that, like the Dodgers. I think that, you know, my wife and I, when we made a decision on this, you really, you know, look at the other options out there and you look at, man, I get to play for the Dodgers.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a crazy, you know, thing. They're in the, you know, in my eyes, a top 10, you know, organization in all of sports as far as tradition and, you know, what they've brought to the table. So to put that uniform on is definitely something that, you know, I'll cherish and, and you know, excited for the opportunity to come in and compete and, you know, try to help them however I can.
I cannot wait. We're actually, the girls and I, we were planning to come back. You guys are going to be doing your spring training in Phoenix. So now that we have a lot more loved ones out there, we're going to try to visit you in March. And then also when you visit, of course, Anaheim, that's right down the street with me, and then San Francisco. So it was... It's been a good couple of weeks, just really, you know, gaining new friendships, and I'm always appreciative to have wonderful athletes like yourself, and not just an athlete, but a man of integrity and a man of God to come on the Female Field Guide and just share, you know, your walk with me. And last but not least, of course, last week we really got the wheels turning in our lives about the next phase. And your brother Mike has definitely been a great coach with ball players in the major leagues and in the minors and stuff. Is that something that, you know, possibly can we see Coach Bard, you know, in the minors or majors, even high school baseball sometime in the future?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a dream of mine. I think that my brother and I are both, you know, looking down the road. I obviously have a tremendous amount of respect for him. I think that, you know, he's doing some dynamic things as far as hitting and coaching and hitting. And, you know, he's a pretty good combination. You know, he's a kinesiology major, master's in it, you know, so he really understands how movement works. And, you know, so I think that he's really trying to bring the physics aspect to it and realizing that, you know, baseball is definitely a game of feel and, and you have to go out there and it happens fast. But I think that there's definitely true things about movement, and if you break those rules, you reap the consequences of it. I think that that's what his, you know, goal is. And what I'd like to see is after I'm, you know, done playing, I definitely would like to either, you know, go into the front office or coaching. And he's definitely somebody that, you know, not just because he's my brother and I love him, but I think he's the best at what he does. So I think that he would definitely be the guy that I would like to see come alongside. And, you know, and I really kind of see his role as being a, you know, a coach of coaches, you know, and really instructing instructors how to better, you know, serve Major League Baseball, minor most out of their players. And I think that when you look back to your career and you realize the struggles that you've gone through and the times where you felt lost, you know, I know that my brother and I are both very passionate about, you know, educating players to where they can really enjoy the game more. I think that there's a lot of times where guys don't really understand why things are happening, and to be able to give that to a guy is definitely a freeing thing. So hopefully he can go home to his family and really be there, you know, as opposed to thinking about baseball all the time, because it's a pretty consuming pressure filled deal. But as I've told people many times, it beats working. So.
Absolutely. Well, I look forward to working games and seeing you play, and then just supporting just all the wonderful things that, you know, the next phase that God has for you. And once again, so appreciate you coming on the show. Josh Barr, two-time All-American at Texas Tech, also newly acquired L.A. Dodgers catcher. Josh, thank you so much for coming on the show. This is a Female Field Guide exclusive with Josh Barr. Thanks, bro. I appreciate you coming on.
Jasmine, thank you, and we wish you the best with all of your exciting things that are coming forward, so any way that we can help in the future, all right?
Thank you so much.
53 moves. Sweet Kelly Malassi. Josh, thank you so much for coming on the show. And so although it's although I bleed pinstripe, the Yankees, I'm definitely going to be checking out the Dodgers a little closer this year. That was Josh Barr with L.A. Dodgers. Hey! When we return, I have one question for you. What's a puck? We're going to have Tommy on, one of my senior producers, and he's going to be keeping us on top of things when it comes to the National Hockey League. This is Jasmine George. We'll be right back after this break.
This is Josh Barr of the L.A. Dodgers. Just wanted to give my support to the Female Field Guide and all the great things that they're doing in sports.
This is Candace Parker of the L.A. Sparks, and I love listening to the Female Field Guide.
Hey, this is Joe Bryant. It's also the papa of Kobe Bryant. You know, I want to say thank you for listening to the Female Field Guide.
Hey, this is Jason Wright, 7-year NFL veteran. Love listening to Female Field Guide. Jazz, you got it going on.
Ja'Cory Harris from the University of Miami.
My name is Ethan Martin.
This is Ebony Hoffman with the L.A. Sparks.
Hi, this is Delisha Milton-Jones of the L.A. Sparks, and I love listening to the Female Field Guide.
I'm Patrick Webb, played quarterback at Yale University. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia.
Yale. You know that playbook, huh? Left and right?
You're listening to Jasmine George, your Female Field Guide.
Welcome back, everybody. Wonderful interview with Josh Barr. That was pretty cool. I hope you guys enjoyed yourself. And so, you know, hey, FFG, we talk a little bit of football, talk a little bit of baseball, basketball. But you know what? There are hockey fans in this world. And I've got one of them on my team. And so the question I have to ask, you know, what's going on with hockey? Actually, more specifically, what the puck?
I'm by winning. I win here and I win there. Now what?
Terrible.
Here we go.
Terrible.
I love it.
What the puck?
I am so happy to bring on one of my good buddies, Mr. Tommy Mahoney. We're going to be talking hockey. How you doing, brother? Woo!
I'm doing great, Jazz. How's it going?
I am good. We had our FFG, one of our meetings earlier this week, and, you know, Tommy just really shared some wonderful things that's going down in hockey, and I said, you know what, I'm not going to be selfish with that information. Tell the world, Thomas. Tell the world. Tell the world what's going down with hockey, and you share with me, you know, as we roll into the end of January and February, it's going to be a lot of wonderful things going on in many different sports, but National Hockey League, it's All-Star Weekend next week. Share with us where that's going down and really the draft process with getting the players. That was really cool.
Yeah, we've got the All-Star game coming up. Actually, next weekend, I think Sunday's actual All-Star game. But the fun doesn't start there. The fun starts with the NHL All-Star player draft on Thursday night. I forgot what time it is, but check your local listings, as they say.
Okay.
It's actually a pretty cool concept. I guess last year the NHL started this concept for their All-Star game where they'll name a pool of players to the All-Star team. And those players among themselves pick two captains. And then those two captains pick their All-Star team's playground style. You know, it's back and forth.
No, wait a minute. Tommy, so I love that concept. But I can imagine some of these hockey players are having, like, flashbacks from third grade when they had a mullet and it was stylish and they were the last one to pick, you know? I mean, that may bring some old memories up.
Well, you got to figure, like, these guys were probably never the last one picked, so this has got to be uncharted territory for them. You know,
maybe it was the, you're right.
Being some of the best players in the world.
That's it. But I know they had mullets. I'm picturing them having mullets, though, for sure.
Absolutely. I'm thinking of the team photos of mullets and everything else.
Good.
You can't
get
a mullet.
So I love it. That's something, you know, that of course the average just general sports fan won't know. They may, you know, catch the hockey game, but not even knowing how the players were picked. And I'm sure, you know, from the video that you showed me, they seem to have a lot of fun just picking the guys and kind of letting their hair down or their other mullets down. What are some of the other events that take place during the All-Star weekend?
Yeah, well, actually, the draft is actually kind of a good way if you don't know the players. I mean, they'll interview them and talk to them. So, you know, you get to know their personalities and individual players. But in addition to that, they have the skills competition the night before. That's, I think, what, six or seven different events that the players compete in. Things like fastest skate or hardest shot, shooting accuracy. They have the breakaway challenge, which is kind of like the slam dunk competition at basketball.
Oh.
So if you want to. It's a player who goes in for a shot, and they've got to be creative, and the fans judge them, and that's usually fun.
Okay, that's pretty exciting. Well, you know, I mean, the All-Star weekend, of course, is the best of the best all around the good old country, but we're on the West Coast. Now, yeah, we have some listeners that are out of California, and I love you guys, but hey, man, we're in SoCal, so when you always come on the show, I always want to know how my California teams are doing, the LA Kings and the Anaheim Ducks. Now, we talked last time, and they weren't playing very well, but I think you have some updates for those squads, yeah?
I have some good news for you. The teams have both turned around. Well, no, I've always said, you know, they're struggling now, but there's still plenty of season left for them to turn things around. And things have started to turn around on both teams, actually. The Kings are actually scoring some goals now and getting some goal support for Jonathan Quick. He's their goaltender. He's actually headed to the All-Star game this weekend if you want to catch him there.
Ah.
But he leads the league in shutouts with six, but his win total is not as high as it could be. Think of like a pitcher in baseball where they could have a real low win total, but all their other numbers are really good because they don't get run support.
It's
kind of the same concept with goalies in that sense.
Okay. So Mr. Quick, I'll make sure I can. He plays for the Kings or the Ducks?
He plays for the Kings. He's our goalie.
You are more of a Kings fan, right?
Actually, I like them both, which might not go over so well on either side of that argument, but you know what? I like them both, and that's the way it is.
Okay. And the Ducks are playing pretty well as well?
The Ducks are playing exceptionally well. In the last 10 games, they're now they just won tonight, so they're now 8-1-1, which means that they have 8 wins, 1 loss, and 1 overtime loss. And you get a point for an overtime loss in the standings. So they have, 17 points in the last 10 games, which is really good. I think it's the best record in the last 10 games in the NHL.
Okay. So if we were playing, if we were to go to the game, there would be no reason for me to press this sound button.
Terrible.
At all, because they are
not at all.
Playing.
Terrible.
They're actually playing the opposite of...
Terrible.
The exact opposite of that.
Now, listen, you and I, we love the soundbite. We love random things. We love things that are not terrible. But if they're terrible when it comes to sports facts and just the randomness, we'll take it. And, Tommy, you and I share a love for random sports facts. And so I'm feeling in my soul, Thomas, that you have some random sports facts. Since our show is on Sunday, you know what? I think it's time
for another show on Sunday. That's what
say
I think.
What?
Thomas, do you have any fun sports facts for me before we get you off?
All right, yeah, it's All-Star Weekend next week, and the NFL has their Pro Bowl, which is, like you said, essentially their All-Star game. So I got some All-Star So What Sundays for you here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you know how the NBA All-Star game, they do the rookies versus sophomore game, what was it, the day before, a couple of days before?
Yeah.
A few years ago, the NHL had a similar concept with the Young Stars game, is what they called it. They had rookies versus sophomores in 2-3 years ago now.
Okay.
Do you know who the winning coach was in that last game? It was he coached the rookies team. The winning coach.
The winning coach. No, lay it on me.
It's Luke Robitaille.
Oh,
that was good.
Luke Robitaille.
Our buddy.
Great.
Our buddy Luke.
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh, here's another random one for you.
There
have been 60-some-odd NHL All-Star games. The first one was in 1934, and the first annual All-Star game was 1937. In that span, actually the ninth player to score in this year's All-Star game will have scored the 600th goal in All-Star game history, if my math is correct. So that's something to look out for. And there will be 9 goals in this All-Star game. Typically, teams score around 10. So.
Okay.
Which is,
wow.
So don't watch the NHL All-Star game expecting to see a typical game. You're not going to see a lot of hitting and fighting. You're going to see scoring.
Just like
more
the
scoring,
you know,
scoring
NBA All-Star game, it's going to be dunks and no defense.
Yeah, exactly like that.
All right, Tommy, I think there's time for one more. And I know it's a doozy.
All right, you got one more. Okay. Like I said, the Pro Bowl is coming up, so it's kind of Pro Bowl related. Honolulu and Las Vegas have in common in terms of the so-called Big Four North American sports?
Honolulu and Vegas. No, what you got for me?
Honolulu and Vegas are the only two cities that have hosted an All-Star game in a sport that they don't have a team in. NBA had their All-Star game in Vegas in, 2007 or 8, I think it was?
Yeah, 2007. That's when there were, a lot of, like missing hookers and stuff. Sorry,
that was that one.
For Sunday night. Well, you know what, Tommy? sometimes we take it there, and the fun facts sometimes drive us in that area because that's what one of the things of 07 All-Star Jam was about, missing hookers in Vegas. But you know what? These set of fun facts, Thomas, definitely deserves a attaboy. You picked
attaboy. Attaboy. Attaboy.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Attaboy.
Thomas,
that's even better than terrible.
I don't know. Wait a minute.
No. I might be getting crazy now. Yeah.
I don't want to remove the soundbite. I have it ready just when you come on. Well, once again, man, I always appreciate you coming on and laying on random stuff, but keeping us on top of things when it comes to National Hockey League. And so next week I'll be watching it, and we'll talk about it next week. Once again,
sounds good.
Of our team producers, and he's the guy behind What the Puck, man. This is Tommy Mahoney. Thank you, brother. I'll talk
anytime.
To you soon.
Talk to you later.
That's good. We are jamming. I've missed you guys so much. I really have. And you know what? We've got to take one more break because I need to take a sip of water, for goodness sake. But you know what? Thank you so much, Tommy, for coming on. And on the other side of the break, we're going to talk NBA. Yeah. It's Pro Bowl. It's the Super Bowl coming up. But guess what, baby? NBA is here. So we'll be right back with Mika, my other senior producer. We're going to be talking some NBA. On the other side of the break, this is Jasmine George, your female field guy. Do not go away.
Well, you have it. What a wonderful morning. Inland Empire Media Group, female field guide, covering the Route 66 Classic Car Rendezvous. This is Jasmine George. Had a chance to meet, interview, and talk with the great Luke Robitaille, LA Kings, and Tanner Faust, rally car driver, stunt car driver. It doesn't get much better than that. Great day, female field guide. This is Jasmine George, signing off.
My name is Luke Robitaille from the LA Kings, and I love listening to Female Field Guide.
You know what's so funny is I didn't even get the drink of water. I was looking at my notes. Let me go ahead and do that now. I'm going to pull a Wendy Williams and drink it on air. Jasmine Georgia, Female Field Guide, 8:49, baby. Woo! Well, guess what? It's time to talk some basketball, shall we? In our crossover.
Oh, what a great feed from Gordon to Griffin for the slam.
Because when the season starts, it's about wins and losses.
Oh, baby! Look at that crossover!
Oh, baby! look at that crossover. Now, back in my day, listen, back in the 90s, I'm not going to toot my own horn, but my crossover was delicious. And someone that better cool sign, it is one of my senior producers, Miss Tamika Poland, on the ones and twos. She's here. She's here. Hello, darling.
Hello, darling.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm okay.
You're okay?
Yeah, because you know what? The 49ers lost, but the Lakers are winning right now, so I'm okay.
Awkward. Well, you know what? I'm glad you were able to come on the show. Those are some crazy games, huh? That's what it's all about, football. Woo! That was good. But I'm sorry the 49ers lost, because I wanted to get lost in Alex Smith's eyes at least for one more game. Anyway, let's go ahead and talk some basketball now. I mean, geez Louise, it's, you know, January 22nd. Basketball's been here for a little under a month, and there's been some, you know, headlines, and there's been some stories brewing in the pot. And you are my Lakers insider, and you love you some basketball. So I said, let's come on, let's talk about it. One of them is the key injuries, Mika, of some of our elite really stars of their teams. And share with, you know, the listeners some of the injuries and some of the ball players and how their teams have fared with them not on the squad, not playing. Name a couple of those.
Well, you know, just like the NFL, when they had their lockout and they came back, all of their breakout stars ended up getting hurt within the first couple of games. So you start with the Bulls, and Derrick Rose, you know, the MVP, the reigning MVP, he's out with a sprained big toe injury, has missed 4 games. He says he's getting better, but then the swelling is going down. And Tom Thibodeau says, only Derek knows really how it feels, and if he says it's a go, then it's a go. But right now he's still listed as day-to-day. And the Bulls are doing it without them. They do have Carlos Boozer, but their roster, actually there's all of their starters right now besides Carlos Boozer, are hurt sitting on the bench. So,
wow.
Yeah, they're doing it with their reserves, and they're doing pretty good. But, like, the Bulls want Derrick Rose to come back. So, hopefully we'll see him within the next game or two. They say that they're not sure if he's going to play tomorrow, but hopefully within the next 2 games he'll be back.
Yeah, and you know what? When it comes to that big toe, Mika, I have run into the side of the bed or something, and that big toe, listen, it swells up, looks like 7 Vienna sausages, okay? No, not funny. Well, let's go ahead and let's talk about Dwayne Wade, another superstar, one of the faces of the Big Three in Miami. He's missed quite a few games with a high ankle sprain. Talk about you know, how the Heat have fared without one of their guys.
Well, yeah, like you said, this is his 4th straight game, and you could tell that they really do need him because they did lose today to the Milwaukee Bucks, 92-82. He's making progress, and the coach said that he wants to make sure that he's in good condition and that he comes back without any setbacks. So they're just hoping that LeBron stays on the court and D-Wade, you know, starts practicing soon, because they really can tell they do need him. It's too much stress for one person. So we're all hoping that, you know, Dwayne Wade does get better soon. But the ankle is not a joke. You can wrap it, but if you can't do a crossover, you cannot play.
You know what? You're right. And unfortunately, Bron has not, you know, solidified that clutch player yet. And so they, you know, they, like you said, they lost to the Bucks, but they've got a couple W's. But it just, you need D Wade, and those high ankle sprains are no joke. But his bookie boo, Gabriel Union, will make sure that it's elevated for sure. Mika, let's hop in the plane and let's go on the West Coast, the best coast, shall we? Chris Paul. He was 17 seconds from being on your squad, the Lakers. But, you know, there was a fake-out session, Mr. Stern, and now he's with the Clippers. He's missed quite a few games again with a hamstring. What's the feel? You know, I actually want to get your opinion as a Laker fan and then just as a basketball aficionado about Chris Paul being injured so early in the season.
Well, this is what happens. God don't like ugly. He was supposed to be in the Lakers. He had to be in the Lakers. He would never have his hamstring injury.
God don't like ugly? Wow. Okay, go on.
No, you know what? This is going to be Chris Paul has already missed. This is going to be his fifth game. He is day to day. He's never had a hamstring injury. He has had knee injuries. He's had ankle injuries. But this is like his first hamstring injury. So really, he doesn't even know how to take it. The MRI revealed that there's no major damage. He's hoping to play Wednesday against the Lakers. But as much as his team needs him back, they need him to be as healthy as possible. So they don't want him to rush back, but they do want him back to, you know, make it Lob City like it's supposed to be, but it's really not. But you know what? In his defense, Chauncey Billups has stepped up, and so have Mo Williams. The Clippers are still doing good. They won today against the Raptors, 103-91. So there is CP3 on the floor, but you can just tell with him being there, being on the bench, his presence is helping his team to, you know, his victory.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one thing that I love about live television and live radio, I get a text. Tommy was just on with our What the Puck segment, and I talked about Gabriel Union about 15 seconds ago. Tommy texts, Gabriel Union has the same name as a soccer team, the Philadelphia Union. Always random, keeps me on my toes. Thank you, Thomas. Now, of course, I'm saving this for last, not necessarily the best, but your boo, Kobe Bryant, he hurt his wrist, I believe, the game before the regular season, the exhibition game against the Clippers, but essentially, sister girlfriend, it hasn't stopped, old boy. And he's been kicking butt, and the Lakers have been playing well, and this is what I have to say about that. But as a Laker fan, just really give your opinion. Really, the Lakers are still, you know, when it comes to the Pacific Division, they're right behind the Clippers, but they are playing really well. And I just want to get your opinion and thoughts about your squad going into kind of the next phase of the season.
Well, you know, anytime Kobe has an injury, if he's on the court, he's going to play. If he's going to be on the bench, he's going to play. So no matter what injury he has, he's going to play. And like he said, a wrist, you can wrap that up, and you can start shooting with your other hand, and that's pretty much what he's been doing. He has a torn right ligament in his wrist. He says it hurts, but you can't tell because he's already had three 40-point games since he's had the injury. So he pushes through all the swelling and the soreness. He continues to be day-to-day, but nobody wants to hear an excuse that the reason you had a bad game was because you had injured a wrist. Nobody wants to hear that your team lost because of your injury. So you have to go out, and if you're going to be on the court, you have to play, and that's what he does. He's a player, he's a fighter, and no matter what happens, when it's game day, he's going to play. He could have a broken arm, he could have a broken leg. All they're going to do is take him in the back, give him his medicine, wrap him up, and put him on the court because he's going to play, no matter what.
Mika, here's the question. How long have you guys been dating? I mean, really? Jeez Louise, you love this man. Honestly, I mean, they've been playing well. I can't even say anything like that. But that's why I love having you on. You can say the majority of the things when it comes to the Lakers. And so I just sit back and play fun sound bites. But that's why I love you. So many things we actually wanted to discuss. We are running out of time. We have two more segments. Mika, I really always appreciate you coming on, keeping me just on the straight and narrow and giving me the fun facts about the NBA. You are absolutely fantastic, Mika. And you're coming with me tomorrow for a game time?
You know it. And I did have fun at the NFLPA Media Day as well. So that was great.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Tamika when you check out the videos on YouTube. Mika shot that. And so I always appreciate one of my senior producers just holding it down and hopping on the road with me. So, Mika, I appreciate you, doll. That's Tamika Poland, senior producer. She's our aficionado of all things Lakers. See you later, honey bunch.
See you later.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is we're going to keep rolling. We've got one more segment, and, you know, it's the bonus one. It's the bonus round. Sports and Entertainment's been, like I say, it's a fantastic little cocktail blended with Sports and Entertainment that I like to call Female Field Guide. Did y'all hear about that? And we're going to have my brother, Jarence George, on the ones and twos after this break. This is Jasmine George. One more segment, Sports and Entertainment Spin. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to Female Field Guide. We'll return after these messages.
This is Ronnie Reaver, representing the running back, and we love listening to Female Field Guide. Ben Wells, ripping for the American team.
Okay.
This the DB.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
How you doing?
Lock it up.
That's right.
No. And make sure you listen to Female Field Guy.
Hey. And have you enjoy yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
And follow me on Twitter.
Wide receivers, national team, Female Field Guy. Signing off.
Is in that booth.
Signing out.
Signing out.
You're listening to Jasmine George, your Female Field Guide.
Look good, play good, live good, you know, eat good, die good.
Shout out to Mr. Deion Sanders, prime time. Female Field Guide, we are going into overtime, baby. I miss you guys. I haven't talked to you guys in a while. I've had some YouTube videos, but, you know, not the same. So we're going to sneak in one more segment, sports and entertainment, that I like to, actually is one of my favorite segments. And I said, you know what? I haven't had my cray-cray brother on the show in a while talking all things entertainment because I'll talk sports, believe me. And our sports and entertainment spin. Let's do it. I have one question to ask you guys. Did y'all hear about that?
Y'all hear about that?
Sports and entertainment.
It's time for the rumor mail.
So I would like to bring on my big brother, Jarence George, stand-up comedian, writer, producer, and a pretty okay guy, Broseph. Welcome to the show.
Did you hear that one about Susan? Some say she's just a tease. On the camera saw, she's 6 feet tall. She knocked you to your knees.
To your knees.
Wow. I love it.
Thanks.
Look at all the rumors.
All right.
Okay.
No problem.
Hello. He is a one half member of a group, High Life. Make sure you look into that. We'll be keeping you guys abreast on what's going on with him. But Broseph,
I'm going to cover all that afterwards. I'm good. I'm feeling good. I'm great. I had a great weekend, and I'm ready to get into the spin.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, let's do it. Here we go. Now, as a young woman, when I was little, I was a tomboy. Still have that embedded in my bloodstream. So my parents bought me Barbies, and they bought me G.I. Joes, and so they both scammed with each other. So I had an affinity for both. Even though there was a crazy height difference, I made it happen. Speaking of Barbie dolls, it has been rumored that there is a Kardashian Barbie doll in the mix. Now, I got this text about a week or so ago. We didn't have a show. And recently, Mattel has released a statement saying they're not really in the works of creating a Kardashian Barbie. But I really think this is going to happen sooner than later because Kris Jenner is a mastermind. Broseph, what the heck are your thoughts on a Kardashian Barbie doll?
Well, first of all, it's probably best that they didn't go through with it because, I mean, really, what kind of message are you sending with that? I mean, what is a little girl going to say?
Bobby, when I grow up, I want to have sex with Ray J and the sex tape and pretend like I'm upset about it and get a reality show about nothing and make $1 billion. I mean, you know.
Awkward.
Wow.
And if you think about it, listen, if you really think about it, I would say that Ray J is the unsung hero of the Kardashian family. When you think about it, I mean, listen, I mean, if it weren't for his penis and passion for filmmaking, the Kardashian empire would not exist.
Your mother's listening.
I mean, they should let him pose in the holiday cards they take every year. I mean, it's because of him that everything is possible. Ray J's a hero.
You know what? Those pictures are very dramatic. I mean, I thought I did okay with the female Phil got Christmas card, but they one-up me again. They one-up me
again. Until you've seen a photoshopped Lamar Odom, you haven't seen anything. You're still amateur hour.
Oh, let's keep it basketball-wise. Lala
Anthony.
That's
not fair.
Jaren. Let's keep it basketball wives. Lala Anthony, okay, who I love, and I cannot wait for their season to come back. She is launching her beauty line called Modus by Lala, mineral-based foundation lipstick that really features and focuses on women of color because she has African-American heritage, but then she's a Boricua, So she's got all sorts of just hot blood and just brown and everything. So I really look forward. I think I'm actually going to try out this makeup. And I like that she's doing her thing. She's not just, you know, getting Carmelo Anthony's cashola. So you know me, as a female entrepreneur, I'm all with it. Grossif, would you buy your boo Modems by Lala?
Sure. Why not? Bless her heart. And if you're going to get the makeup, Jazz, you better order a crate because it's going to take a lot of work. Lala's got her work cut out for her. I love it. No, Lala's cool. I mean, she's a hustler. You got to give her that. You know, she's been kind of on the outskirts, and she just kind of worked her way in and stayed in the game, and good for her. I know nothing about her, but I hope that this perfume line does not take away from her hosting the Real Chance at Love wrap-up show. Because that's where we know her and love her.
We do. Real Chance of Love, also for the love of Ray J. But I need to rewind just 2 seconds. Did you say Lala had her hands full by doing makeup for me?
Ew, they sound so creeper.
This is my show. You cannot say such things. All right, let's keep pushing. Yeah, let's
deal
keep
with
pushing. We're gonna stay in basketball wives mode, and I'm glad you came on because I know that you love this man, and you guys have probably been secretly dating for about 7 years. Kobe and his soon-to-be ex-wife Vanessa, it has been reported that Vanessa will be getting $76 million and three out of four beach houses. She couldn't get the fourth one, though. Kobe said, no, hands off.
Get the fourth.
Hands off. She couldn't get the fourth one. I mean, OMG, bro. I mean, can they pay my grad school loans? How about let's get, you know, a newly built FFG Mahogany Lounge studio? That she can sneeze that. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, at first you're like, oh, it's horrible. It's a bad thing. But when you think about it, they live on such a, Kobe lives on such a high level that, you know, that's what you, again, I've mentioned this on the show before. This is what you call an uptown problem. I'm losing three of my four houses. Darn it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's not even it's half his money, but he's still got the other $76 or $80 million. He's going to be all right. I think he's going to wipe his tears with $100 bills and go on back to practice, and he'll be cool.
Let's not forget
to have a problem like that.
Let's not forget the whopping contract he signed with Turkish Airlines.
Awkward.
The Turkish Airlines.
You're never going to let that go, are you?
I'll never let that go. Never let that go. Well, all right. I think we've got time for maybe one more. For goodness sakes, we've been at Basketball Wives, Kardashian type of entertainment. We've got one more. We've got one more. My favorite Kardashian, Bruce Jenner. he had some sort of facial surgery for a cancerous growth in his face. The 62-year-old stepfather of the Kardashians underwent surgery last Friday to remove that growth from his face. He was spotted at the Mavs-Laker game last week with stitches in his face. So everyone thought, oh, no, he had another plastic surgery because Bruce Jenner had a few. But it was reported that, no, they found something a lot more serious, and they went in there and nipped and tucked and got out of it. So as far as we know, Bruce is okay. And let's see what sort of rude and inappropriate jokes Jaren's going to say about this. Go.
Well, you know, I talked about Ray J being the hero of the Kardashians. Bruce is the martyr, the victim of the Kardashians. I feel so sorry for him. He's trying to keep up. He's trying to watch the little girls who are already swinging on poles. Bless his heart. He deserves a day, too. His face, you know, he looks every bit of that 59 years or six. How old is he, 67?
62, brother.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, and you know, I'm glad he didn't get cancer in his face, but it was starting to look like a crumpled up paper bag. I mean, you know, let him have his peace. I would have thought the scar on his skin was from his wife socking him in the jaw, you know. And if you got a scar in your cheek, don't go to the Laker game. Just chill out, you know. But he just had to get out. Like that's how much he had to get out the house. I don't care if I just had cancerous growth removed. I need to get away from this crap for at least the evening. So, Bruce, you got my props. I'll do a shot with you, buddy.
At least 90 minutes. Yeah. I mean, you know,
at
he got the earring.
And he had to wear it because he knew he was going to be on TV. And if his wife saw him, he'd get in trouble. But, you know, he wanted to take it off so bad. No 75-year-old guy needs to be walking around with earrings on. Come on. Only Morgan Freeman can get away with being old and wearing earrings and still being cool.
You know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. He's going to be in like 12 movies this year. I don't know how he does it. Speaking of movies, I'm going to see you on the silver screen soon, and I feel it in my heart and my soul, bro. But you know what? You are actually gracing the MIC pretty soon before I kick you off
always.
The show.
And you always do.
I do, with pleasure. What's going down with you? Stand up, comedian, and you're doing your thing, but what's going on with you this month?
Doing my thing. I'm going to be actually at the World Famous Comedy Store Sunday,
nice.
February 12th at 8 o'clock. It's going to be a really big show, a lot of fun. Looking forward to that. Everybody come on down. And also, again, like you mentioned, High Life, the music group that I am one half of. Our album is going to be dropping soon. You'll be able to pick it up on YouTube, iTunes, and you can hear from my melodious voice in the beginning that I got the skills to pay the bills, all right? Also, I am one-third of DJD Productions. We're going to be connecting and doing business with the show. We're shooting a documentary right now, Red Line, about my friend Jason Wick, whom you interviewed not too long ago, about him starting his drag racing team. So we got a lot of stuff coming down the pike, and it's going to be big things in 2012.
Once again, sports and entertainment, a beautiful blendage. The sports
gal. I don't think that's a word, but...
Blendage? Well, it is now.
Yeah.
I've been saying it for a year and a half.
Okay, put in the female field guide glossary.
Well, I'm sorry, what? The female what?
Put in the female field guide glossary.
Right.
Yeah, I messed it up. I messed it up.
Darren Storch, a man of many hats, but most importantly, he's my bro. So thanks again for coming on the show. I will literally see you
buddy.
In 2 minutes and 17 seconds. That's Darren Storch. I'm kicking you off.
See you later.
Peace. Can you believe it that the show is over? We actually went into a little bit of overtime because I just wasn't ready to let you go at 9 o'clock. This has been a fantastic show. I want to give a shout-out to Josh Bard of the L.A. Dodgers. Please check out my video with Ed Cole from ProsToPreps.com and our NFL two-minute drill. We talked about the Final Four football teams that are left, and now it's the Final Two, baby, going to the Super Bowl. Thanks, Tommy, for keeping us tapped into hockey. Mika for her knowledge and passion talking NBA. And, of course, she was there with me, the NFLPA, AstroTurf, Collegiate Bowl, the players that I was able to speak to, and, of course, Coach Tom Flores and the legendary coach, Mr. Dick Vermeil. It was such a pleasure meeting and speaking with him. My wonderful team, John Bodge, the third, Heaven and Ashley, and all my wonderful loved ones that supported me and continue to pray for me. God bless you. I love you all. Next week, we're going to be prepping Super Bowl. Make sure you check the YouTube page, youtube.com/female field guide. Going to be getting you right. We got a new segment, Late Nights with Rob. He's my cigar aficionado. He's going to be sharing which cigar should the sports fans and the Super Bowl winning team smoke after the Super Bowl victory. Touching a little bit about the Pro Bowl, a fan rant with some FFG fans as to why their city is the best. Is it Wisconsin? Is it Chicago? Is it L.A.? You tell me. Call in to the FFG message hotline, 909-276-7132, and the best message will be played live, baby. Don't you forget it, a sports and entertainment spin that will knock your socks off. This has been Jasmine George, your go-to girl for all things sports and relationships, your female field guide. Another week of learning, laughing, and loving the game. God bless you. Have a fantastic and productive week, and I will see you next Sunday. Same time, same place. Good night.